Good evening. We're so glad that you're out here with us. We're so excited to be able to gather like this. What a beautiful night. We were getting worried that it was getting too cold, and I'm sure as the sun goes down, it will get a little chillier this evening. But right now, it's just about perfect for us to worship outside this evening. So glad that all of you are here with us, and so many of you are tuning in on YouTube and Facebook as well. We're going to sing a couple of songs before we're led in our opening prayer this evening. They were emailed out if you have the lyrics. The first song is, "I'm a Poor Wayfaring Stranger." I am a poor wayfaring stranger while traveling through this world of woe. Yet there's no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my way is rough and steep, but golden fields lie out before me where God's redeemed shall ever sleep. I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd meet me when I come. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I'll soon be free from every trial. My body sleep in the churchyard. I'll drop the cross of self-denial and enter on my great reward. I'm going there to see my Savior, to sing his praise forevermore. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home.
Before Danny leads us in our opening prayer, we'll sing "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Would you pray with me? Our Father, we pray that our hearts will be so open to your love that we will exude it everywhere we go, that Christian and non-Christian alike can look at us and see us and see mercy and graciousness and humility and a love like Jesus. Please empower us, Father, to show this love to the world, and they will know who we are because of it. Father, we are aware that we will not always do this, and we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your long-suffering. We have many things to endure, and it's not always easy to respond and react as we should. And so, Father, help us to overcome these. We know you've offered your love, and we ask you to help us accept your love so that it will change us and grow us and mold us into mighty messengers for you and for the kingdom. Father, thank you for such a beautiful night. And Father, we know that who you are is always wonderful, but on nights like this, it just helps us to appreciate you even more, to appreciate your beauty and your holiness and your cleanliness and your purity. And Father, we just want to offer you all praise, honor, and glory, not just tonight, but throughout all of our lives. And we offer you this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Before our scripture reading and prayer this evening, we'll sing, "To Canaan's Land, I'm on my way."
To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. A rose is blooming there for me, where the soul never dies. And I will spend eternity where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all his love and the soul never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand and the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all his love and the soul never dies.
Scripture reading this evening will be taken from John chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. I'll be reading from the ESV version. That's John chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. "Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The word that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
Mike has copies of sermon notes. If any of you would like to follow along with those, raise your hand if you want a copy. At least it's a map of how much longer the preacher is going to be preaching. But good to see everybody. I hope you are feeling well. Our number is down a little bit from last time we did this, but it's a hearty crew, I can tell that. And you don't mind it getting cold? Maybe you do, so we won't tarry too long. But it is a beautiful evening, as Danny said. If you're not with us, if you're watching us online, we wish you were here, because it really is just almost a perfect evening. But however we're worshiping God, it's always a good time to get together. And thank you for coming out and joining your hearts and your voices with ours. And we pray that we'll be strengthened by our time together. It has been a good day, though. Really enjoyed our time together this morning, and I know we'll benefit greatly tonight. We've gotten a lot more interested, at least I have, in space in recent months. You probably have heard about SpaceX, a company that is headquartered, I guess, out in California. They are shooting rockets off at a record pace. There was one that went off this morning, and there will be many more to come. They're putting satellites in the sky. There will be several hundred of them, all part of what is called the Starlink network. And that will be one way to get internet, is by downloading internet signals from satellites up above. You won't need cables or wires at all. But what really gets us interested is when they put people in space. A lot of us watched back a few months ago when those two astronauts, American astronauts, went up into space, the first time in 9 years or so that Americans had gone up into space. And that caught our attention. We really enjoyed watching that, and we followed it very closely. Have you ever thought what it would be like to be an astronaut? I mean, that has to be kind of frightening, doesn't it? Because they're asking you to get on board this space capsule, kind of small, and shoot you into outer space where there is no oxygen, where there is no guarantee that you'll ever get back. Why would anybody do that? Well, it involves a basic amount of trust, a faith that these engineers and these scientists know what they're doing. And if you don't have that, if you think, well, this is Jethro Bodine that's in charge of this project, you're probably not going to get on board that space capsule. You get on because it is somebody that you trust, you have reason to believe they know what they're talking about. Well, what was it like for the apostles when Jesus was about to launch them into their own ministry? We talked about this a little bit last week, and we'll cover a little bit of the same ground tonight. But Jesus was telling them, my time is just about finished on earth. I've done about all that I'm going to do while I'm on this earth, and you won't see me anymore. And how would that have been? I mean, what kept them going? He was asking them, in effect, to carry on even though he himself would not be with them. And so what we're going to find in John chapter 14 are what I have found, seven different promises that Jesus gave them. And in essence, he is saying to them, believe this. Believe this. And if you did believe Jesus, then you would carry on. You would follow on with the ministry, even though he was not physically present. But if you didn't believe it, then you were done. You would walk away. And it's really the same for us, because we don't have the physical presence of Jesus. So why are we continuing on? It's because we believe this. So let's think about those ideas for a bit. First of all, let's talk about the coming separation and the disciples' future. The coming separation and the disciples' future. Now, as I said, we looked a little bit at this last week, and we're not going to spend very much time here tonight, but go back to chapter 13 of John, John 13 and verse 33. And as you remember, Jesus has now finished the Passover meal. He has washed the disciples' feet, and Judas is left. Jesus knows that the clock is now ticking, and the soldiers will be arriving before not too long. And so he says this in John chapter 13, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Jesus said, I'm going to be leaving you, and where I am going, you cannot come. Now, notice he said there, I said this to the Jews. And one of the places where Jesus had said that was back in chapter 8 of John. If you want to glance at that with me, we're not going to be leaving John 14 but a couple of times. But John chapter 8, verse 21 is one of those occasions. And here Jesus makes this statement. He said to them again, I am going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. That has a sense of finality, doesn't it? Jesus says, where I am going, you're not going to be coming. You won't be able to. And he said, the reason why, you will die in your sins. You have rejected me, and thus you have lost all chance of a glorious future. Well, is that what he's saying to his apostles in John chapter 13? Well, let's go down to verse 36 now, John 13, verse 36, and we'll see it's not exactly the same way. Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. So there is a difference between what Jesus had said to the unbelieving Jews and what he is saying now to his apostles. You will follow me, but it will be afterward. And so there is hope there, and that's one thing they would have to believe. Do we believe Jesus that we will be able to follow him afterward? And they didn't know what that meant at this time. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going to be separating. And Jesus had been telling them all along, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be crucified, laid in the grave, and on the third day rise again. But it wasn't clicking for them. It wasn't really something they had grasped. But now Jesus says that time has come. But there is basis for optimism in the future. There is basis for optimism in the future. And that's where we come to chapter 14 and verse 1. Again, we looked at this last week, and one of the best verses in all of the Bible, we would say. Because Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Now, how, Lord? Why are you even saying that? You've just told us you're going to be leaving us and we can't follow you. Why are you saying, let not your heart be troubled? And notice what he says immediately after that. Believe in God, believe also in me. Things that you cannot see right now, things that you may not be able to grasp, just trust me, believe me, and your hearts will not be troubled. And that's always the challenge, isn't it, with Jesus, is that we have to trust him, we have to believe him. Why, we can't even see him with our physical eyes or hear him with our ears, but we trust him, we believe him, and thus we follow him. Go down to verses 10 and 11 of chapter 14 and notice what he went on to say. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. And it's like Jesus is saying to them now, connect the dots. You've been watching me do all of these miracles. How is it possible that I can restore the sight of the blind or raise the dead? How is it possible that I can do those things? The Father is working in me. And now, while I'm telling you these things about the future, you can believe me because the Father is speaking through me. And so you see, there is optimism for the future, even though immediately it looks kind of bleak. Lord, you're leaving us. And yet he says, I'm going to give you promises that will sustain you, that will guide you. If you can just believe these promises, then you'll be able to make it. We share, again, as we have said, we share in common with those early apostles the fact that we don't see him now. And that's always been our case. For them, they have been with him for 3 years, and then he's gone. Well, in our case, we've not ever seen him. And you see, that's why these promises are especially good for us, because they will keep us going when nothing else will. So let's move into this section, Believe This, and that's where we're going to talk about the seven promises. And there's probably others that you can find in chapter 14, but if we can just believe that and act upon that belief, how much better it will be for us. Now, let me just mention that about 36 hours ago, in this very location, there were a lot of cars already lining up, getting ready for the food distribution. They had heard through some means, and there were several means being used, to tell people, if you'll come to this place at this time on this date, then we'll give you free boxes of food. And let me tell you, the food that was given away yesterday was pretty significant. I mean, my mouth was drooling a little bit looking at those hams and other things. But not everybody that heard that news believed it, I dare say. There may have been some that would have said, well, yeah, they'll give out a little bit, if anything. I'm not going to bother going over there. If they didn't believe, they missed out. But if they believed the advertising or the messages they heard, then they came and they left with a carload of groceries. And it will happen again the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Well, that's kind of what we're saying here. Here are the promises. Here is the advertising Jesus is giving us. The question now is, will we believe it? Will we believe it enough to act on it? And if we do, we're going to be so blessed. And if we don't, we're going to miss out. The first of those promises that Jesus gives is in chapter 14 and verse 12. Chapter 14 and verse 12. And listen to what Jesus says there. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Now, let that soak in for a minute. Jesus says, if you believe in me, you'll do the works that I'm doing, and they will be greater than my works. And at first reading, we say, now, wait a minute. How is that even possible? Because Jesus did some amazing things. He walked on the water. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. You know, all of those things. And how is it possible for people to do greater things than those? Well, I mentioned last week the idea is probably to be understood not in terms of quality, but in terms of quantity. Let me read something that David Leip wrote in his commentary on this text. He said, of course, greater works than what Jesus had done cannot be understood in terms of quality. That is, you're not going to do better miracles than Jesus did. That's not going to happen. Even the apostles couldn't do that. But then he goes on to say the quantity of the good works. Now, in the first century, that would involve some miracles, but it was more so aimed at the spreading of the good news and bringing people into the kingdom. And then Leip goes on to point to that idea. He said, within a few months after Jesus' death and resurrection, more people became followers of Christ in response to the apostles' preaching than during Jesus' own ministry in Galilee and Judea. And then it would spread all around the world. And that, I think, is the idea that we're looking at. Jesus is saying, you will be able to do great things if you have faith in me. Again, we're not talking about miracles today. That age is past. But we can do some wonderful things if we believe that Christ gives us that ability. We can tell others about the gospel and about the saving power of Jesus, and more people will respond than maybe we think will if we'll just try it. And Jesus said, you're going to do great things. Now the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe this? And the apostles obviously did, because they continued on with the work even after Jesus left. But now the question is for us, do we believe it? Because he said there, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. That includes you and me. But let's go to the second idea, the second promise, in verses 13 and 14 of John 14. Verses 13 and 14. He says there, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And again, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe that. You know, let's just give it a try. I wish that God would give me a brand new fancy car right here, right now. And you know, God could do that. And it's probably not going to happen. And we say, well, that doesn't really apply, does it? Well, again, I think we're misunderstanding what Jesus is saying here. And let me turn to the Expositor's Bible Commentary for their comments that I think help make us better able to understand this. The phrase, and this is something he said twice. Did you notice Jesus said, in my name? If you ask in my name? The phrase, in my name, however, is not a magical charm like an Aladdin's lamp. It was both a guarantee like the endorsement on a check and a limitation on the petition, for he would grant only such petitions as could be presented in a manner consistent with his character and purpose. And so the idea is, if you are really with me, and if you're really interested in spreading the kingdom of God, then what you're going to ask for are those things that are consistent with my will and that I will be happy to grant. And I think of what we're going through right now. You know, who would have imagined, you know, last year that we would be doing what we're doing right now? But when the crisis came and we were kind of, you know, staying away from each other, not being inside so much, look at what's been provided for us. And we've prayed, Lord, help us to see ways to keep on preaching the gospel, to keep on getting together as a church. And here we are. This is an answer to that prayer. And many other ways we could think of it, but this is not a way of saying, you know, just make a wish. That's not what Jesus is saying. So we, as we try to follow the Lord, as we encounter things that we can't really overcome ourselves, we pray. And Jesus says, if you ask in my name, it will be granted. Maybe not the way we think it should be or when we think it should be, but it will be done. Do we believe this? It makes a big difference in our ability to press forward. Number three, look at verses 15 through 17. John 14, verses 15 through 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And there again, a lot of people say, well, that time is past. That promise doesn't apply to us anymore. Now, I'll grant there are some things that are in John 14 that do not apply to you and me. They were designed for the apostles. But this promise that the other helper, that indication that, yeah, I'm going to be gone, Jesus will no longer physically be present, but we have another helper, and he's going to come. And as he says there at the end of verse 17, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Is that still applicable? I think it is. Now, again, I'm not saying that we are unable to work miracles or speak in tongues. That's not the idea at all. But Peter said in Acts 2:38, didn't he? Those that repent and are baptized will receive forgiveness of sins and be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And think about what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. That looks like a pretty universal statement to me. And that means that if I belong to the Lord, then I have this promise. Now, I can't explain to you how the Holy Spirit helps me, how he moves in my life. I don't know, but I trust that he does. And believe me, that gives me a lot of comfort. It keeps me going when things get difficult. And so again, we have to ask ourselves, do we believe this? Was this a promise for me? And I believe yes, absolutely it is. Look at verse 19. Here's a fourth promise that Jesus gave his disciples there. In John 14 and verse 19, here's what we find. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Because I live, you also will live. Now, we're already alive, they might have said. But Jesus isn't talking about right now. He says, I'm going away, but because I live. Now, that refers to the going away to the cross, going away into the tomb, into Sheol, Hades. But he didn't stay there. The Father raised him from the dead, gave him life. And that's what he means when he says, because I live, you also will live. And so there's this idea that, yeah, we're alive here right now, but that's not the best of it, not even close. There's coming a day when we're going to have life like Jesus has post-death. It's going to be glorious. And that's really one of our greatest motivators, isn't it? That when this life is over, there's something way better, something far better than we have right now. There's the promise. So again, we have to ask, do we believe this? Is this something that we'll grasp and embrace and let it keep us going? Verses 21 and 23, here's a fifth promise that Jesus gave. John 14, verse 21, first of all. He says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then again in verse 23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Here the promise is, God loves you. If you are one who keeps the word of Jesus, and we're not going to do it perfectly. Jesus knew that when he said this. But if that is our real drive in life, to do what the Father wills for us to do, then we can know God loves us. Too often we judge God the way we see other people. You know, we do something to a person that wrongs them, and they say, okay, I forgive you. The second time, they're not quite as quick to say, I forgive you. The third time, maybe they walk away. But you see, the idea here is God is not like that. In spite of our flaws, in spite of our sins, if our heart is there to love and to follow the Lord, then God loves me. And if the Lord, if the Father loves me, doesn't that give us tremendous power and motivation and endurance? And again, what a blessing that is. Do we believe this? Do we believe that God loves us even in spite of all the times that we have messed up? Verse 27, here's promise number 6 that I find in John 14. Verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace. Boy, isn't that exactly what we want? We prayed about it a lot these last several months. Some of us have lost sleep at night. We've just agonized over a lot of things. But Jesus said, I will give you peace, not like the world does. The world's peace says, you know, go along with us and everything is fine. Don't create any waves. Just do what we tell you to do. Conform yourself to our ways. Everything is fine. That's not the peace that we're talking about. We're talking about the peace of knowing that we are loved by the Father, that we have a home ahead of us in heaven one day, and that God sustains us, provides for us, protects us. Peace, not as the world gives you, do I give to you. And what a blessing that is, and how we often forget it. We get so focused on the world and the problems. And Jesus says, here it is. I'm promising this to you. Do we believe it? Do we believe it enough that it will make a difference in our daily lives? And then the final one that I found in chapter 14, verse 30. Verse 30 of John chapter 14. Jesus said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. He has no claim on me. And by implication, if we are followers of Christ, if we are in Christ, he has no claim on us. Is that good to know? I mean, Satan is a fearful being. He is a powerful being, and we don't dare stand up to him on our own. We wouldn't have a chance. But with Christ, he has no claim on us. And though he may charge us with this or that, accuse us of this or that, Paul said in Romans 8, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. We are blessed by having this powerful Savior, and Satan has no claim on us. So again, we have to ask, there it is, the promise is right there. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Yeah, it would be a scary transition for these apostles to go from following a Savior that they could see and touch to one that they would have to follow by faith. But that's our challenge, isn't it? And Jesus makes it possible by giving us all of these marvelous promises. And if we have that belief, then we can walk by faith and not by sight. Going back to our opening scene of space, back in 1983, a film was released entitled The Right Stuff, based on a novel by Tom Wolfe. And it referred to those that were in the military and yet were selected to be part of the initial space program in America. These were the very earliest days when nobody had done it before. And they really had to have a lot of faith. I mean, you're telling me you can shoot us up into the sky and then bring us back safely. And like the title says, it took the right stuff to be able to do that. Well, that's kind of the way it is with us, isn't it? It takes the right stuff for us to follow the Lord by faith. But in this illustration, he's giving us the right stuff, these promises. And if we believe them, then we will have the ability to do what he calls us to do. Believe. Believe this. In the late 1800s, Eliza Hewitt, who was actually a woman, wrote the words to a song that we have sung much in the past. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Those with the right stuff will respond and say, Lord, here I am. Lead on. Are you ready to make that choice to follow Jesus? If you're not a Christian, we urge you to do that. Just like Peter told the people, we talked about it earlier, Acts 2:38. They said, what do we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That still applies. And if you've not done those things, we'd love to help you tonight, whether you're here with us in the parking lot or whether you're out there. Let us know. We'll help you make that happen as soon as possible. And if you've done that, have you been faithful in following? Or have you allowed other things to interfere, to distance you from the Lord? Then you need to repent. You need to pray for forgiveness. And if we can pray with you, send us a message to the email address on the screen. Or if you're here, let us know. And we'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever we can do to help. Make your decision to do just that.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
If you didn't have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper this morning, if you raise your hand, Mike will bring you the elements for the Lord's Supper. If there's anyone here, we have one over here, Mike. Right over here. Maybe there's some more, just motion, and Mike will make sure to get to you. And while he's doing that, we'll sing a couple of verses of Low in the Grave He Lay to prepare our minds for that.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
If you'll go ahead and peel back the layer for the bread, let's pray.
Heavenly Father, you are God Almighty. We are so humbled. We stand before you. We are before you as sinners, but Father, we know that this that we are taking was set apart by you. That Christ came and lived and taught, influenced, healed, and he edified you, Father. He lived and he was sacrificed. And Father, this bread that we take is his body. It was all part of your plan. And we know that it had to be done so that we could live eternally with you. And Father, as we take this bread, we know that Christ gave himself willingly, the lamb that was sacrificed to pay for us. And Father, we do this. We do this because it is your plan, your guidance, your instruction. But Father, we do this out of love as well. We do this remembering Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's continue. And Father, as Christ was on the cross, and as he gave his life, as his blood was spilled, he had told us that he would leave us, but that we would never be apart, that we would be able to live with him one day. And Father, just as he taught and he passed the cup, we take this cup today. We take this cup as a symbol of the blood that was paid, that was spilled, and that flows freely to cleanse us. And Father, we do this in Christ's name. Amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper, but we will have a prayer now for the offering. Let's pray. And Father, we know that you have given. And Father, we know that you have commanded that we are to set aside and to give as well. And Father, we know that the giver is the most blessed of all. So as we give today, as we give this week, Father, we ask that all that has been given is blessed by you, that the works glorify you, that the word that can be spread by the giving of this offering is blessed by you. And Father, we give this willingly, we give this purely, we give this out of love, and Father, we give this out of thankfulness. And we ask that this is blessed by you in Christ's name. Amen.
What a great evening we've been able to have tonight to worship and praise together. Before we close with a prayer, we'll close with a song. And man, it's so good to see so many of you out here. And man, I think I see Nash Johnson over there for the first time. How about that? So how cool! So glad that we can see all of you here tonight and be together. What a beautiful night. We're going to sing A Common Love, and then we'll be led in our closing prayer. A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, especially the weather and the time to enjoy the wonderful creation that you've given us and allowing us to come and partake of that during this worship service. Thank you for allowing us the message of that brings a little hope in this world that often focuses on all the bad that's out there. We also ask that you be with Melissa, who had an allergic reaction recently, that you continue to help and aid her as she goes through this illness. We ask that you be with us throughout the rest of the week and allow us to spread your message and bring us back when it's safe and able. In Jesus' name, amen.